This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
We could have saved ourselves, but we didn't. It's amazing. What state of mind were we in to face extinction and simply shrug it off?
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where flotation devices are located under your seat. I am your host, the Stimulator, and a groundbreaking climate deal was reached in Copenhagen that will lower carbon emissions below 1990 levels. Here is our Carbomander-in-Chief, Barack Obama.
Today we've made meaningful and unprecedented, breakthrough. Here in Copenhagen. For the first time in history, all major economies have come together to accept their responsibility to take action.
Yep, the climate deal is a farce. A non-legally binding agreement between the US, China, Brazil, India, and South Africa that relies on trust. Here's 350.org's Bill McKibben.
These countries have, in a sense, disrobed themselves and said, we are the countries that matter. We're not interested really in what the rest of the world says or thinks. And for the US, that's a wonderful victory, because it lays aside forever the idea that it owes any historical debt to the rest of the planet for the carbon that it's put in the atmosphere over the years.
Well, duh. Anyone who was naive enough to think that anything positive was going to come out of Copenhagen was smoking from my roommate's magic pipe. What came out of the climate summit was a death sentence for Africa.
It's a solution based on values. The same very values, in our opinion, that tunneled 6 million people in Europe into furnaces.
Obama has blood on his hands, and he's sending his ancestors to a slow, painful death akin to the Holocaust.
Until now, they're seeing like 2-3 seasons of the rain patterns. They have failed. And that's now even why it has gone to an extent of Ewasonyiro River drying without actually... Unlike the other times when it used to flow the whole year.
The piece of shit deal signed by the U.S. would allow for the Earth to warm by 2 degrees Celsius, which would be about 3.75 degrees higher for Africans, who are already feeling the effects of
man-made climate change
in the form of severe droughts. In Australia, the motherfucking resistance is trying to avert a different potential catastrophe, uranium mining for nuclear power. Protesters demanded that BHP Billiton, the world's largest mining company, to stop their expansion of their mine in Roxby Downs. Here's Aboriginal activist Sam Watson.
Aboriginal people have never ceded sovereignty. We have never surrendered one inch of our sacred soils to the British colonial government, and we still stand on our land, and we defend our land, and we do not give permission for our land, for our country, to be torn apart, and the poisons, like this yellow cake, to be extracted from those sacred lands.
In the U.S., the fight to reclaim stolen native land continues. In South Dakota, Crow Creek Tribal Chairman Brandon Sasu took a stand against the United States' theft of Dakota land. The young chief occupied Dakota land, seized and sold by those hateful motherfuckers from the IRS.
They sold our land for $2.6 million, auctioned it off like it was a car or something like that. They don't care how many people live here. You know, the land was appraised by one appraiser for $4.6 million because of the wind energy potential. You know, what's going to happen to our economic development now? 20% of our land base is gone.
In Vancouver, Olympic resistance activist Marla Wren was detained and interrogated for 6 fucking hours at the U.S. border because she was going to speak about the negative effects of the
5 conference of death
in Portland.
When I arrived at the American border, I was picked out of the line before I reached my turn to step up to the wicket. And I was questioned specifically about what I was going to be doing in Portland, and then questioned quite extensively about who I knew there and the purposes of why I was going to be there.
But that didn't stop the motherfucking resistance from disrupting Hitler's torch in Toronto.
We're opposing the Olympics because they're taking place on unceded indigenous territories. They're happening at the expense of poor people and indigenous people who are being kicked out of the city while public money is going to fund these games.
Nights like this is good for business. 5 minutes in the mix. Notice several different clicks. Talking, giggling, a script, and one big baller in betwixt. And everybody else jacking him, throttling. Found out later he on Coca-Cola bottling. Talking to a black man. Who's he confused? Me looking hella bougie. Booty all tight and so did he. Recognize him as the mayor of my city who treats young black men like Frank Nitty. Mr. Coke said to Mr. Mayor, you know we got a process like Ice T's hair. We put up the funds for your election campaign. And oh, waiter, can you bring the champagne? Our real estate firm says opportunities are rousing to make some condos out of low-income housing immediately. We need some media heat to say that gangs run the street and then we bring in the police fleet. Harass and beat everybody till they look inebriated. When we buy the land, these black folks gonna appreciate it. Don't worry about the Urban League or Jesse Jackson. My man that owns Marlboro donated a fat sum. That's when I step back some to contemplate what you know. Sat down, wrestle with my thoughts like a sumo. Ain't no one player that could beat this lunacy. Ain't no hustler on the street can do a whole community. This is how deep it can get. It reads macaroni on my birth certificate. Putin Tang is my middle name, but I can't hang. I'm getting hustled, only knowing half the gang.
Last Wednesday, climate activists attempted to enter the Bella Center in Copenhagen, where world rulers were deciding the fate of the planet. The activists were brutalized by the pigs, and there was no indication that their screams had any effect on the outcome of the COP15 conference. But while this media circus was going on, Jeffrey Lewis was getting out of jail. Lewis was locked up for torching three gas-guzzling SUVs in 2000. Here's Free explaining why he did it.
Overall, the majority of pollution that comes from the United States comes from passenger trucks and vehicles. I mean, we have almost 250 million of them. When you take SUVs into consideration as being the number one polluter in that vehicle class, well, those are my reasons right there.
What Jeff did not only brought attention to the problem of carbon emissions from SUVs, but attacked the problem at the source.
I don't have a voice. I can talk and talk and talk and write as many letters. I've even met with some of the Congress people here in town. Nothing I have done has accomplished any change.
When the climate talks in Copenhagen failed to deliver anything serious, many people, including me, were not surprised. Why? Because the biosphere does not fit within the capitalist context. In order to save the environment, capitalism and the state must cease to exist. This includes socialism and any other man-made artifice that hyper-exploits nature. If we want to stop runaway climate change, we need to stop carbon emissions. If we want to stop carbon emissions, we need to stop coal mining, coal-fired power plants, SUV factories and dealerships. We need to stop
the motherfucking tar sands.
We need to stop lumber industry. All of those things I just mentioned are part of the capitalist economy, and that is why you cannot hope that Obama will exact the change that we need. Why? Because he's a fucking capitalist. Patronize ambassador George Monbiot, who repeatedly bashes anarchism and who fully endorses state as a partner in saving the planet, is throwing in the towel. Monbiot wrote in his blog this week,
"Goodbye, Africa. Goodbye, South Asia. Goodbye, glaciers and the sea ice. Coral reefs and the rainforest. It was nice knowing you. Not that we really cared. The governments which moved so swiftly to save the banks have bickered and filibustered while the biosphere burns."
With all due respect, Monbiot, go fuck yourself. This is no time to act like crybabies. Just because your plan to put pressure on the state failed miserably doesn't mean that all is lost. We also need to wake up to the fact that protests, banner drops, and pranks serve a purpose but can only go so far. For all of you who are falling into despair, now you must change your tactics and bypass the state completely. Find out where the carbon is flowing in your community and stop it. There's not a lot of time left, y'all. So stop fucking around and get to work. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. The following slaves opted not to shop this Christmas and funneled their money to make radical fucking TV shows. Martin, Hervey, Dan, Noah, Amber, Zachary, Christopher, Tristan, James, Vincent, Sean, Joni, David, Paul, Alexander, Christopher, John, Tristan, and Patricia. Frigoberti. I also want to let y'all know that this coming Sunday, December the 26th, I'll be in Portland for a special radiothon put together by the folks from Bottom Up Radio Network. For details on this special event, or links to tips on the apocalypse, or to come in on this show, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. See you next year, suckers.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.
In biblical terms, it looks like we're being offered 30 pieces of silver to betray our people and our future.